Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, Stephen Hawking is back in the news, and we have some history with him. So we will, hopefully this will work. We'll get to him in a moment. But first, a couple weeks ago, Jason Troyer and Joe Scott took a call from someone who said the earth was overpopulated. And Jason asked, well, what's your evidence that the earth is overpopulated? And the caller said Africa. Okay, Africa. The countries in Africa are so wildly underpopulated. But anyway, today there's a news report out from Cape Town, South Africa, published by the Associated Press, of Africa facing a growing obesity problem. So Africans are getting fat, like Americans, like the Japanese, like the Europeans. People used to say that Americans were fat and other nations were thin because they were more health conscious. But we've said for 15 years on this show, they were more poor. They couldn't afford to go to restaurants. They didn't have large refrigerators. They'd have to go walk to the store every day to buy their food, not because they wanted fresh food, because they didn't have ice. And so different lifestyles affect our health and our weight in different ways. And prosperity is difficult to deal with. When people get enough money to where they could start buying desserts and eat desserts as a regular part of their diet, two or three times a day, that's difficult to deal with. Prosperity, widespread prosperity, is very difficult. So, Africa, this is from the Associated Press, Cape Town, South Africa, a continent usually synonymous with hunger, is falling prey to obesity. It's a trend driven by new lifestyles. More than one-third of African women are fat. What? Can't say that. That's not politically correct. More than one-third of African women are overweight and a quarter of African men, according to the World Health Organization. And they're on the rise toward 40% of women and 30% of men in the next 10 years. And according to the South African, well, some medical official, we have gone from undernutrition to overnutrition without ever having passed healthy nutrition. That's a good point. That's a good point. And they're saying that their healthcare system in Africa is so stretched to the breaking point already that if you add to it conditions brought about by obesity like heart disease, stroke, cancer, and diabetes, they're in a mess. And I agree, they are in a mess. We're all in a mess. I mean, the world, health-wise. But we should remember, we should keep it in perspective. We talk about bad health in America, and that's an issue. And I need to lose some weight, personally. But we talk about the bad food we have and our bad diet, and we long for the days when our food was healthy, it wasn't processed, came right from the farm. But we should remember that we're living about 35 years longer, each person, as compared to when our food came straight from the farm. So you got to keep the big picture in perspective. Okay, our food is killing us, but we're living almost twice as long as we used to live when we had no additives in our foods. So keep it in perspective. Let's get better quality food. Let's be health conscious, but keep it in perspective. Okay. All right, so what do we got going now? Oh, brother. Are we going to do this again? All right. Well, Stephen Hawking is in the news again, worried that the Earth, mankind, is not going to be able to survive on the Earth. And this happened this past summer, and we had an interview, and it caused all kinds of grief. And so we're almost ready? All right. What happened was Stephen Hawking had said that mankind should colonize the moon or Mars to avoid global warming. And we told him that that was a bit hard to take, that suggestion. But anyway, I got a lot of flack from it. So, all right, we're going to do it again? Stephen Hawking, welcome to Bob Inert Live.
Hello, Bob Inert. Thank you for having me on your program, Bob Inert.
Okay, you know what? I have a question for you, and here's what it is. I was told I was rude to you last time when we spoke, and it's this. You had suggested that mankind colonize the moon or Mars to avoid global warming. And I ended up putting you on hold and going off saying that, look, what are you talking about? The moon's daytime temperature is over 200 degrees. Over 200 degrees. Here on Earth, you're complaining that the average temperature has gone up a degree. I mean, we're well within the range of historic variations of weather. And so you say we got to go to the moon? It's over 200 degrees on the moon. That's worse than any global warming fantasy on Earth. And there's another minor problem with the moon, Steve. It's that the moon has no oxygen. So imagine if in New York City, all of a sudden, the temperatures were over 200 degrees every day and there was no oxygen. That'd be a problem. And then we also have the problem of Mars. You suggest that we go to Mars. Mars is 50 million miles further from our sun than the Earth is, and the temperature on Mars ranges from 1 degree Fahrenheit down to 178 degrees below zero. I mean, come on. So forget about global warming. Forget about oxygen and say hello to permafrost. So, oh, and by the way, we did have a caller, John from Denver, who suggested that you overlooked Greenland and Antarctica. I mean, if we're going to go to extremes to avoid global warming, why go to the moon where it's 200 degrees and there's no oxygen? At least in Antarctica, there's oxygen. We go to the North Pole, South Pole, Greenland, Iceland, Siberia. We could go to Tierra del Fuego, I imagine. So anyway, here's the question I have for you. Sorry I'm prolonging this, and some of our listeners said I should apologize to you, Steve, but here's my question. It seems absurd to say that we should, in order to avoid global warming, that we should colonize the moon or Mars. So could you explain to me what are you thinking?
We won't find anywhere as nice as Earth. Unless we go to another star system.
Another star system? Come on, that's even crazier than going to Mars. I mean, this is just too much. I can't take it. I just can't take it. This is why I put this guy on hold, and people said I was rude to him. Actually, the truth is, we do not have Stephen Hawking on the show. Okay, it was a joke. It was a joke last time. It was a joke this time. Although last time, it was amazing how many people didn't get that it was a joke. I mean, that's the voice synthesizer that comes with Microsoft Windows. It comes standard with Windows. So you just use your voice synthesis option and you type in. You type in, hello, Bob Enyart. Could you play that again, that hello, Bob Enyart part? You type in, hello, Bob Enyart. And you might have to misspell a couple things. Let's hear it. Let's see. Stephen Hawking, welcome to Bob Inert Live.
Hello, Bob Inert. Thank you for having me on your program, Bob Inert.
Okay. So to get it to pronounce the words right, sometimes you have to misspell them, put an extra space or a dash between syllables or whatever. But so that was just make-believe. But make-believe or not, here we had Stephen Hawking, this atheist astrophysicist, seriously suggesting that we colonize the moon or Mars to avoid annihilation from global warming. And so we're pointing out that, hey, it's over 200 degrees on the moon during the day, and there's no oxygen. I mean, minor problem, granted, minor problem. But we're supposed to flee from the warming we've had. And we're supposed to flee because the ice caps are thinning when the latest science, the latest real world measurements are for the last 10 years, the most recent 10-year period known through 2003, Antarctic's ice cap has increased in its mass significantly so that it's not flooding the oceans and raising ocean water levels. If anything, it's lowering water levels. Okay, that's a good reason to go to Mars, because it's going to ruin the surf on Oahu. I mean, if global cooling continues at this rate and the ocean water levels keep lowering, it'll ruin the surf on Oahu. How are we going to surf? We're going to have to go to Mars. Because, you know, the scientists say that Mars, perhaps Mars was once completely covered with water. And they laugh at Christians who read from God's word, and it says that the earth was once completely covered with water. They laugh at us for saying that. And then some will suggest that Mars was completely covered with water. It's hard to find water on Mars, but the Earth, meanwhile, is covered with two-thirds with water. And our mountain ranges have seashells on the summits of the mountain ranges and by the millions around the world. All the old mountain ranges. Not a new volcano, of course, but all the major mountain ranges. So it's hard to take these people seriously. It's just hard to do it. But if Stephen Hawking, he has taken his licks from the Bob and Yurt Live show back in the summer. So now he's suggesting we go to somewhere else in the galaxy. Maybe we should go to another galaxy. How about we go to another galaxy? Andromeda might be more hospitable to man. Now, the planets that it appears we're measuring wobbles in the light from stars. And so it appears that there very well may be planets out there, but these planets overwhelmingly are different from the Earth, much closer to their respective stars, suns. And not only this, but also our star burns with incredible stability. They can't find other stars like our star, which has the most extraordinary stability. If our sun varied, say, 5%, 6%, 7% in the amount of heat it gave off, man, we might be crispy critters. You want to talk about global warming now? Because you're driving your SUV to grandma's house? Imagine if the sun varied and next year gave off 7% more heat. Then you'd see global warming. So God gave us an incredibly stable and wonderful star to light our world and to give us heat. Let's now go to the phones. We got two calls coming in, one from Denver on global warming and then from Indiana on an interesting Bible question. So first, in Denver, Dan, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy, sir.
Yeah, just a couple of things. First of all, yeah, it is true. Our sun is a very, very stable star.
Yeah.
However, and there's always a however in life, did you ever suppose what happens when God gets so fed up with what goes on here on Earth that all he has to do is speak, okay, sun, output your energy by about 2 or 3%?
Well, hey, Dan.
We've had it. Yeah.
Good point, because the Bible says that this is all going to end in a conflagration, that the elements will melt with a fervent heat.
Yes. And if there's anything, you know, a walk in faith has taught me is that, boy, he can control nature.
That's absolutely right.
I mean, just, you know.
So global warming, the liberals, they have no idea what kind of global warming is coming. One day.
Now, this moon business, quickly.
Yeah.
It's going to the moon business.
Yeah.
I was listening on George Norrie last night, and some guy called up, and he said, you know, my father was in intelligence for many years, military. And he said, oh, the reason why they suddenly stopped going to the moon after 1972, and remember, we had two or three Saturn rocket boosters all set, all built, the money's all spent, all ready to go. He said, we were warned not to go up there anymore. And I, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, something like that could be true.
Wait, we were warned by who?
Some super intelligent entity.
No, Dan, that can't be true. You shouldn't, you shouldn't entertain those kind of ideas.
Okay, well.
To believe that we were warned by aliens not to go to the moon, you'd have to have really good evidence. I mean, better evidence that Red Lobster has unlimited shrimp during certain weeks of the year.
You need
really good evidence. And what you have is an anonymous guy called into some goofy show.
It is a goofy show. 95%
and said we were warned not to go to the moon. That's not enough to say, you know what? That's a good point. It's not a good point. Thanks, Dan.
Okay.
God bless you. Appreciate the call. See, all right, let's go to the phones now. Again, let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana. Ted, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello.
Hi.
Bob, yeah, I got a question for you on, I noticed on your show, I listened to it on the internet.
Yeah.
And you've been discussing Luke 17:3.
About forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we Christians are not supposed to automatically forgive everyone.
Okay. I was discussing that with a coworker.
Right.
They said that, and their Bible was pretty convincing. It said that it's the NASB Bible.
Yes.
Which I'm not sure what that stands for. I think it's the New American
Standard Bible.
You know, quotes the... as Christ saying that only if they are a believer.
Oh, yeah. The New King James that I'm reading from says, if your brother sins against you, and that's a valid translation, and it does mean a believer. That's what it means.
Okay.
But your coworker, who is a Christian, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay. She has conceded our point here at Bob and Yurt Live. Apparently. Could you see that?
Yeah.
She's conceded our point. Our point is that Christians are misinformed when they are taught that we are supposed to forgive everyone automatically. That's not true. Christians, Ted, would you agree that that's the general issue that we speak about, that Christians are told they're supposed to forgive automatically?
I hear a lot of that.
Right. That's what Christians are told, and that's a false teaching. Jesus did not say we're supposed to forgive everyone automatically. Now, this verse here says if your brother sins against you, it doesn't say forgive him. Jesus, it's in red letters. It's the Lord speaking. He didn't say forgive him. He said if your brother sins against you, if another Christian sins against you, rebuke him. Rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. So the forgiveness is conditional on whether or not he repents. And so your coworker, if your coworker is saying, oh, that only applies to Christians, praise the Lord, at least your coworker has now realized that forgiveness is not supposed to be automatic to everyone. So, Ted, the first thing we do need to do is celebrate.
Yeah.
Do you follow that?
I follow you there.
Do you think your coworker realized that she just conceded your main argument?
Yeah, I suppose so, but what about the non-believer?
Okay, so now we could talk about the unbeliever. All right? When the Bible or when we are in a conversation, and if I teach my kids, I say, I expect that all of my sons will be polite to their mother. Does that mean that my daughters should be rude?
No.
No. That is assuming the contrary position has been endorsed somehow. So typically when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he's speaking in the context of how disciples should live. And if he says that Christians should honor their mother and father, right? Let's say the Bible said that. That doesn't mean that unbelievers should not honor their mother and father. If Paul said that you should not divorce a believing wife, that doesn't mean you should divorce an unbelieving wife, or vice versa. I said that backwards, but I think you get the drift. So Jesus here is telling believers, look, if another believer, if a disciple, someone who believes and follows me, if he sins against you, don't forgive him, but rebuke him. So now we could take that teaching and 100 other teachings in the Bible, and we could say, well, how does that relate to unbelievers? And are unbelievers, should they be automatically forgiven? We'd have to then go find a verse that would distinguish believers from unbelievers and say unbelievers have to be automatically forgiven. But that would be destructive to unbelievers. We are to love those in the body of Christ, and we are to love the world, the unbelievers. And if you forgive people automatically and you make repentance unnecessary, that's hurting your neighbor. That's hurting your friend. Because you're lying to them. You're making repentance superfluous, and you're making forgiveness cheap. God does not forgive unbelievers unless they repent. Is that true?
True.
True. God, on Judgment Day, is not going to say, okay, forgiveness applies to everyone automatically. No, but the majority of people in America who believe in God, who are going to hell right now, because there are a lot of people who believe in God, but they're going to hell. In fact, the New Testament says Satan believes in God. So just believing in God doesn't cut it. You have to trust in his salvation. You have to trust in Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead. And his death paid for our sins. And so there are millions of Americans who believe in God, but they have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you ask them, are you going to go to heaven or hell? They, most of them, say, well, of course, God is a loving, forgiving God. I'm going to go to heaven. So where do these non-Christians in America, where do they get the notion that God is all forgiving? Where do they get that notion from? They don't get it from the Quran. They don't get it from atheists. They don't get it from evolutionists. They get it from pastors and Christian radio shows and TV shows who put out this false teaching that forgiveness is automatic. And that's basically a liberal teaching that has infected the body of Christ.
Wow, what an infection.
What an infection. Millions of people are going to hell because they think, hey, if there is a God, he's all forgiving. How do I know that? Well, the Christians, they say they know God, and they say forgiveness is automatic. So it really is destructive. But Ted, I would celebrate that your coworker has basically seen the light and has realized, hey, we are not supposed to automatically forgive other Christians when they sin against us. So from there, that's the big step. Then it's a little baby step to realize that you should also love your unbelieving neighbor the same as your believing neighbor. You should love them equally, and if they sin against you, rebuke them and give them the opportunity to repent, and you could motivate them to repent. Anything else, Ted?
No, that's it.
I think it's a great call. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
May God bless you. Appreciate that. And as far as any alien power telling us whether or not we should continue to go to the moon, I would say there's more evidence that we didn't go to the moon. Oh, only kidding. Let me take that back. You know, they say you can't unring the bell. Let me take those words back. Did that work? Can we get Superman to help me take those words back? There were no aliens who told us stop going to the moon. It just didn't happen. I realize that's antithetical to the conspiracy theory that we never did go to the moon. So then you have those who think we never went to the moon battling those who think aliens told us to stop going to the moon. What do you do with that controversy? How do you solve that one? I'd much rather take calls about forgiveness, because there we're dealing with reality in every respect. Okay. Because when it gets down to it, matter is real, but what is even more real than matter is relationships are real between sentient beings, between you, those around you, and your God. That's what's the most real. And that is why people say, well, how could it be that all you have to do is believe in God and you'll be saved, or trust in Jesus Christ, believe that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved? How could that make such a difference? And we point out that relationships are virtually everything. Relationships, when people get married, they say, I do to one another. That changes everything. It doesn't matter what happens from that point on. If they love each other and are faithful, or if they hate each other, when you get married, it changes everything, because relationships are real. So when Jesus Christ is standing there and saying, I died for you, I was raised from the dead for you, do you trust me so that your sins will be forgiven and you could have eternal life? When you say, I do, to Jesus Christ, that changes everything, because you've entered into a relationship with your Creator. The Gospel of John says that, tells us that Jesus Christ created everything that exists. Everything that was created, he created. All right? John chapter 1, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. All that was created by him. And nothing that was created came into existence apart from him. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So that's pretty neat, to be able to have a relationship with your Creator. And we Christians, we have an obligation to represent God accurately. And when we further this false teaching that forgiveness is automatic, boy, do we hurt people, especially unbelievers. Because, you know, hey, Christians, they can suffer through it. They'll lose out. They'll lose rewards. And there will be tears when we stand before the Lord, but he'll be able to wipe away those tears. But when we misrepresent truth to unbelievers and they use that in their argument against God, there are eternal consequences for these things. And we have an obligation to properly represent God. We're out of time. Our website, kgov.com, kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-N-YARDS. And in Arvada, Maranatha Christian Center. Check them out, Maranatha.